2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we are going to look at the subject faith versus sight. Faith versus sight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. And I'm going to back up one verse since the thought begins really there. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And then Paul kind of gives a parenthetical thought here when he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And the context tells us it's involving heaven. You know, to some, heaven is simply pie in the sky, sweet by, and it's not real. It's for the weak, those that need some special crutch. But then he goes on to say, we are confident. Or you could translate it, we are of good courage. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present or at home with the Lord. So Paul's sentiments and feelings of verse 1 from a reverse perspective. We didn't read verse 1, but that's kind of a side note. Faith is believing God. That's my favorite definition. Faith is believing God. It's taking God at his word. We know from passages like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that faith is, along with grace, a gift from God. No one on their own, without the work of the Holy Spirit, decides one day, I think I'm tired of being lost, I'm going to be saved. In order for someone to recognize their lost condition, they must be prompted by the Spirit of God, and then, of course, we must respond in repentance and faith in order to be born in the family of God. And where we put that faith is in the person of Jesus Christ, in his death, his burial, and resurrection. The one payment for sin is the work of Christ upon the cross, and ultimately then his resurrection from the grave. We also know that faith is a work of God. In John 6:29. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he has sent. We know that saving faith comes from the heart. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, we are taught that in order to be saved, we must put our faith in Christ's shed blood, where the Bible says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of Christ. Faith in Christ and Christ alone brings peace and rest. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified or declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And Paul taught in Colossians 1 that peace comes through believing in the power of that blood, the power to wash away sin. But what I want to talk about this morning is faith in the believer. Faith in the believer. Look first with me at Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, what's considered to be the great faith chapter in the New Testament, as we find many examples of faith, even back many of these in the Old Testament. But I want us to focus just for a couple of minutes on just two verses 1 and 6. In verse number 1 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then verse number 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The word substance in verse number 1 speaks of our foundation. It speaks of our subsistence or existence in Christ. It's our confidence, or you could say our confident expectation. We're reminded that God is reliable, and the substance is the content or the facts of our faith. Remember, in order for someone to be saved, they must understand the gospel message. Because faith begins in the mind, understanding the gospel, the fact that God loved us. He sent his son to die upon a cross to pay our sin debt in full. He was buried. He rose again the third day. The Bible says he was delivered up for our transgressions, raised again for our justification. And so we are saved by faith in what Christ has done. It's not by our works. It's not by our own goodness. It's not by our family tree, our heritage. It's not by the color of our skin or what brand of church we attend. It is simply and completely Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So we have to understand the facts. But many stop there. It stays here. It needs to get in here, right? We've talked about this often because it's important. It needs to be in the heart. And if it's in the heart, it impacts how we live our lives, because what we're talking about when we talk about faith in God is not just knowing some facts about God, it's having a living relationship with a living God. Salvation is not just keeping someone out of hell. Salvation is learning how to walk with God and have God to be the very existence, rather than just having a life that is like animals. We'll talk about that in a moment, what I mean by that. All right, so we have the substance, the foundation, the subsistence. The words "hope for" is not, I hope I'm going to heaven, or I hope I'm walking with God, or I sure hope I'm okay. No, it's a confident expectation. It's believing and exercising faith. That hope is something that we believe in so strongly and accept without reservation, because we believe God. We take God at his word. It is as real as if we were already there when we're talking about heaven. The word "evidence" in verse number 1 is a conviction, or again, facts of faith. We cannot please God without faith, we see in verse number 6. As a matter of fact, God says in Romans 14:23 that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if we're going to draw near to God spiritually, we must exercise faith in him. And we talked about in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk, child of God, we walk by faith and not by sight. So we must answer this question. And this is something between you and God. I'm not judging you. I'm just preaching the word of God as God has called me. As one preacher said many years ago, I didn't prepare the meal, I just serve it. Okay, it's God's word. Are we guided by what we know to be true, even though it's not visible? Are we guided by what we know to be true, even though it's not visible? Do we operate in faith in our daily lives? Paul said we are to walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible also tells us a lot of things about our walk. I want to give you a list. We're not going to go through all these, but I want to give you this list. If you want to look them up yourself, you can. Be a good thing to do this week if you feel so moved, okay? The Bible tells us also to walk in the light. The Bible says to walk by faith. The Bible says to walk in the light. The Bible also says to walk in truth, to walk in Christ, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in love, to walk as Christ walked. We are to walk after His commandments. We are to walk in good works. We are to walk worthy. We are to walk circumspectly. We are to walk in wisdom. And we are to walk pleasing God. These are just some. Now, this is for the child of God. So you see, it's not enough to get saved and, man, I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm going to go to that wonderful place called heaven. And I'm delighted that now I can breathe a sigh of relief. And you would be amazed at the number of professing believers that stop right there. They might attend a church occasionally, might give a little bit of money here and there, might even be involved in one or two things occasionally, but really have no real desire or even think about walking in the light, walking in truth, walking in Christ, walking in the Spirit, walking in love, walking as Christ walked, walking after His commandments, walking in good works, walking worthy, walking circumspectly, walking in wisdom, or walking pleasing God. So let's look, number one, at some facts about walking. Some facts about walking. We know the writer of the Hebrews talked about running a race. When we run a race, we are, I think, specifically thinking about a particular goal. When you run a race, you're looking at a finish line. And so when the Bible talks about running the race, it seems to point to more to a single goal of Christ's likeness and eternity with Him. But when we talk about walking by faith and all the other things we talked about walking in as we live our lives by faith, it seems to point to the daily routine and activities of everyday life. Which means that everything we do, one of the verses we have in club, in Good News Club this week is we are to, and it just left me, isn't that crazy? I had the verse right in my mind. I was going to segue right into this thing. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever we do, do all to the glory. And I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it all down. There's one section I tend to miss. Whatever we do, whether eat or drink or whatever, we do all to the glory of God. Now that's daily life, isn't it? Whether we're eating, drinking, whether we're involved in some pleasure activity, whether we're in church, whether we're at home doing chores, whether at work doing our jobs, no matter what, no matter where we are, we should have in our minds and in our hearts, I need to do this for the glory of God. This is first and foremost in our lives as Christians. Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think, we desire to do it for the glory of God. Because who else is worthy of our praise and our worship but our God? One thing we know for sure, I've never, and neither of you, seen a dead person walk. So we know that when the Bible talks about walking in faith and walking in love and walking in Christ's likeness and all these different things, we know it's speaking to those that are spiritually alive. And we know Romans 8:16 teaches us that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so until we come to saving faith in Christ, we are spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. We know that walking denotes activity. Because when we walk, we must put one foot before the other. And so in the realm of faith, when we are walking by faith or walking in faith, we are putting one spiritual foot before the other. And again, our desire in our hearts and minds is to bring glory to our God. It's much more than gaining knowledge. We should never be satisfied with just learning more Bible. It's a wonderful thing to be a Bible student. We're commanded to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are told in the Bible that we should be able to give a reason of the hope that is in us. Can't do that without knowing the Bible, right? So we should consistently and constantly study the Bible. I'm going to be 67 years old. I know I look like I'm 42, but I'm going to be 67, and I have never tired of studying the Bible. And I will study the Bible as long as my eyes allow me to do it, and if I can't see it, I'll listen to it. But I will study the Bible until I no longer can, either through death or loss of mind, which is rapidly diminishing. All right, so, and also walk implies progress. God said, this is the way, walk ye in it. Not just in the way. God didn't just say, hey, you need to be in the way. He said, walk in it. Much more than just learning. It's learning and doing. I am so glad that God didn't love the world and stop there. But God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Walk implies progress. Faith is exercised, and like anything else, when we exercise, our faith grows, just like when we exercise physically, our muscles grow. Number four, walk implies perseverance. Going a step or two and turning around and going back, that's not walking. That's not walking. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life which I now live in the flesh, physically, he's not talking about being in the flesh spiritually, he's talking about physically, I'm alive in this body right now. I live by faith in Christ. Faith is what keeps us walking. Too much is against us in this world to walk by sight. In my Christian experience, especially in ministry, when I have tried to do it by sight, I have failed miserably. Walking by sight for the child of God always leads to disaster and disappointment, and sometimes despair. So faith, again, is what keeps us walking. You can't mix faith and sight. We must go on by faith. Faith must rule the life we live, or we are doomed to discouragement. All of our daily routines must be routines of faith. There's nothing small or insignificant in the eyes of our God. He's concerned about every aspect of our lives. He cares about everything. Even doing the dishes? Yeah. Even doing the dishes. We do all to the glory of God. Because we can, while we're doing the dishes, complain the whole time, can't we? I hate doing dishes. I don't like putting my hands in this hot and soapy water. It makes my nails soft. Or whatever, if you still wash them by hand. Instead, we should say, Lord, thank you that I have plates that need to be cleaned because there was food to put on them. Our faith must be the very atmosphere in which we live, feeding on Christ, not as an appetizer, but as he is the very bread of life. Not sipping on Jesus as though he's some sort of little taste test, but instead drinking him fully, because he is the water of life. There's a big difference. Wearing our faith not as some special Sunday suit, but wearing it as it is our everyday apparel. Christ is not someone who's to be reserved for a Sunday church service or Sunday school lesson. He is to be our all in all, as Paul wrote. And we are to set our affection on things above, which, of course, primarily is Him, the author and finisher of our faith. So some facts about walking. Number two, some differences between faith and sight. Some differences between faith and sight. Number one under that, the lost walk by sight. The lost walk by sight. The world says seeing is believing, doesn't it? Child of God doesn't say seeing is believing. We believe on Him we have not seen. And there are special blessings and rewards promised to those that believe that He's coming back, even though we've never seen Him. And Paul said, hope that is seen is not hope at all. Faith sees beyond the here and now. Faith sees beyond the problems and difficulties and heartaches of today and sees the glory that shall follow. Just like Christ, who saw beyond the suffering of the cross and saw the glory that should come and saw the souls of those that would be saved believing in that death, burial, and resurrection. Saw beyond the suffering of the cross and pictured Himself again in glory, seated beside the Father, ever living to make intercession for the saints. Well, the lost walk by sight. The highest form of worldly wisdom seeks to see everything for oneself. We are taught in the world today more self-reliance. We hear about self-made men and self-made women. We hear that we must have faith in ourselves. The humanistic philosophy has permeated our society where we don't need God. We have ourselves. We're all we need. I am my God. And some of the cults, if not all of them, teach that we can become gods. The Christian, on the other hand, chooses the eternal over the temporal. Only the eternal things will endure. Some things that we need to remember about walking by sight. Number one, walking by sight is foolishness or childish. I'm sorry. Walking by sight is childish. Children judge things by sight, don't they? When our girls were little, you put a green vegetable on the table, what was their first reaction? Take a guess. Ew! Ow! I remember the first time we gave the girls Brussels sprouts. I love them. They're made right. A lot of people don't know how to make them. You got to steam them bad boys or grill them or whatever. I like to steam them. I used to make a breadcrumb combo, put it in butter and fry up the breadcrumbs and put that on top. But, you know, all that butter is not good for an old man. So now I just slather them in butter instead. But when the girls saw most of them, I don't remember which ones liked them, which ones didn't. But there were some faces. And there were some yucks, or if you put some other kind of veggies down. Kids judge things by appearance. What did Christ say? Do not judge by appearance. Because we're taught that God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. So we got to be careful that we don't judge things like a child would by sight. Now, if you get a little teeny little kid, and they, let's say they have a dime, and you offer them 2 pennies for that dime, what are they going to do? Come on. They're going to take 2 pennies. Why? Because there's two. And two is better than one. Because they judge by appearance. Someone that is walking by sight and not by faith is satisfied with the wisdom of this world. They're walking not by faith, but by sight. Again, the Lord said, do not judge by appearance. So if we have a childish faith and we walk by sight, then we're not the full-grown men and women in Christ that we are supposed to be. The children of the world say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We will leave the world to the children and go to one made without hands. Children also have short attention spans, don't they? A child can beg and cry and scream and throw a tantrum because they want a certain toy and you give it to them and 13 seconds later they drop it and move on. Or maybe they get in a fight with their brother or their sister over some toy, and they get the toy back, and then minutes later they drop it and move on. Because a child has a short attention span. If we are walking by sight as professing Christians, our attention span for spiritual things is going to be short. What keeps us motivated and to desire things like going to church, if you have to beat yourself up every Sunday to get yourself out of bed and come to church, there's something wrong with your faith. I think maybe you might be walking by sight. But if we're walking by faith, we do things out of love and devotion to God even when we don't feel like it, because we're not walking by sight and feelings, we're walking by faith. We're believing God, we're taking God at His word, and we understand the importance of gathering together like we do for three little itty-bitty hours a week. I know I harp on this because it bothers me big time. It's one of the biggest burdens of my heart as pastor, having to convince Christians or professing Christians they need to be in church. I know you get tired of hearing it. Please bear with me. Out of love for your pastor, say, oh, I'm going to go ahead and let him go through this. Sunday school, 1 hour. Church, 1 hour. Wednesday night, 1 hour. How many is that? Add them up. Three. How many hours do we each have in a week? 168 hours a week. So we are giving God, in a corporate sense, not saying that's all we do, for goodness sakes, our whole lives should be by faith, but we come together as a family 3 hours a week. And for most that are part of this church, that's too much. I'd like for anybody that can explain to me how that can be right and good and of faith to see me after service. I need to be educated on that. All right, I'm done harping on you. Let's move on. Walking by sight is just existing. Walking by sight is just existing. Solomon, Ecclesiastes, we recently did that study on Wednesday night, and he had all riches, richest man ever lived. He had power. He tried every pleasure under the sun. He had buku wives. He had like 700 wives, 300 concubines. I spent 46 years with my first wife. And that's all I can handle. Can you imagine having 700 wives? And then 300 playmates on the side. Really? Solomon, you knew better. And he concluded after all of that, he said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, it's all empty. So when we walk by sight and everything is this world and my next adventure, and it's all about me, 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 me. That's by sight. That's not faith. And all that is an existence. If we just make a living, and that's pretty much it, how is that different from someone that's lost? Or to even get more direct, how is that different than an animal? An animal goes day to day just trying to meet their basic needs and survive from day to day. Shouldn't a Christian life be a whole lot more than surviving day by day? In Christ, it's an adventure. Finding the will of God day by day is a wonderful thing. But in order to find it, we've got to look for it. We've got to pray about it. And then we have to, as God's Spirit directs us and the Word of God directs us, others may come and recognize certain abilities in us that might be linked to a spiritual gift or gifts God has given to us. Then we can use those in the church to build each other up and outside of the walls of the church. Number three, walking by sight is ignorant. Everyone exercises faith in something, don't they? The evolutionists believe that over millions and millions or billions of years, we evolved from a pile of slime into what we are today. Now, is that faith or what? Unfortunately, it's faith in the wrong thing. Believing God increases knowledge and wisdom, and we then are able to fellowship with the only wise God. Number four, walking by sight is deceptive. You put a little worm on the end of a hook, drop that hook into the water. What does the little fishy do? At least you hope he does. Huh? He bites the hook, doesn't he? and you set the hook and you pull them up and you got your fish dinner, right? Or if you pull too hard, you might just have fish lips. So you know, when you set the hook, you don't want to set it, you know, you don't want to, the fish drops in the water and you got lips. But a fish lives by sight, and because a fish lives by sight, it dies by sight. And when they're really, really biting, sometimes you can throw the hook in, and they just hit it because it's shiny. Other times they're not biting very well, and all you got to do is leave just a little teeny bit of the tip of the hook showing, and they won't bite. It's an amazing thing. Walking by sight, number five, is hazardous due to the darkness. Walking by sight is hazardous due to the darkness. Walking by faith is walking in the light. We know that the Bible is a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. God's light shines in darkness and dispels the darkness. And if we trust in the unseen and in the invisible, then the darkness of death does not overtake us, but we rejoice in the fact to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Walking by sight is hazardous due to the darkness. Number six, walking by sight is a lonely walk. Walking by sight is a lonely walk. Walking by sight is saying, I believe in me. I believe in me. Walking by faith is saying, I believe in God. I believe in God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Walking by sight, I'm all alone. Walking by faith includes always two, me and God. I'm never without company, never without someone that loves me, because God, Christ is in me and I am in him. And so I can rejoice in that fact. So number one, we saw some facts about walking. Number two, we saw some differences between faith and sight. Number three, some cautions to glean from the passage. Some cautions to glean from the passage. Letter A, never mix faith and sight. Never mix faith and sight. We seldom have problems striving for what we can see. Oftentimes we're overwhelmed by this life because we let it happen. Circumstances do not dictate the joy of a child of God if we are walking by faith. Can we grieve? We sure can. Can we hurt? We sure can. Can we suffer? Absolutely. Can we endure loss? Yes. All these things, no doubt. Whatever can happen to those in the world can happen to us. But we have faith. We believe God. We take God at his word. So we should not put all of our energies and all of our efforts and all of our devotion into the things of this life, which includes people. We like to use people as an excuse for our faithlessness. Doesn't hold water with God. We strive for what we can see, our children, grandchildren, mates, money, recreation, but we are Christians and our first devotion is to God. God. I wonder how many things we struggle through that last two and three and four times longer than they would if we would have turned to God first. Do you ever think of that? We so often want to take control of situations that we have no control over. And we wonder why we are in misery. Wonder why we get so discouraged. Because we're carrying burdens that God does not intend for us to carry. Cast all your care, all your burden upon me, the Lord said, for I care for you. All that we do is affected and acted upon not by what we see, but by what we believe or don't believe. We walk by faith, or do we? Cannot do both. Do you ever try to go east and west at the same time? Do you ever try to swim and walk at the same time? Obviously, we can't do it. Let me give an example of what we might be tempted to say. Okay, listen to this. I believe God loves me because I have done very well financially since I got saved. The first part's faith. I believe God loves me. It's faith, right? But I have done very well financially since I got saved. What is that? It's sight, right? Yeah. Would we say this in line with what I just read? I believe God doesn't love me because I have done very poorly financially since I got saved. So in other words, does God's love demonstrate itself necessarily by we having plenty? Now, he promised to meet our needs, okay? But he never promised to give us plenty. How about this instead? Maybe we should think this way. I have trusted in Christ, so I am his child, so whether he appears to outwardly bless me or not, I am his and I will believe in him. Now that's faith, isn't it? I am not going to determine that God loves me or doesn't love me by the amount of stuff that I have. Because he told me to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. And he's talking about the things we need. We cannot calculate our position before God based upon circumstances. One of the most common mistakes Christians make is to allow circumstances to dictate our joy. That's what the world does. They're happy when everything's going well. They're happy when there's all kinds of money in the bank. They're happy when they're not sick. They're happy when they get a promotion. They're happy if they get a new car. They're happy if they got a gigantic house. Happy, 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 happy. But as soon as those things begin to be taken away, what happens? They're deep in sorrow. Look what happened during the great crash, stock market crash. It turned into a far beyond the little recessions that we've endured. What was it called? Depression. Now, Bill can remember back. He was alive then. No, I'm just kidding, Bill. The depression, what happened? Those that were rich that lost everything. Have you read about it? What did a lot of them do? Jumped out of windows, committed suicide. Why? Because their hope and their life and their happiness was in that money. And when the money was gone, they felt they had nothing to live for. So should the child of God, should we be controlled by those types of things? Should that determine whether we have joy, or should we agree with Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength? So let me ask you this morning, do you have faith? Number one, have you experienced saving faith? Saving faith must be in the right thing. We're not saved by faith in a church. We're not saved by faith in some sinner's prayer. We're not saved by some card we filled out. We're not saved by water baptism. We are saved through faith. By grace, God's unmerited favor, through faith, believing God, we are saved by, number one, repent. We are willing to turn from our sin and turn to Christ. We believe from the depths of our being that God loved us so much. Christ died. He shed his blood to pay our sin debt. Somebody has to pay it. We can pay it ourselves by rejecting Christ. We die and go to hell. Ultimately, that's cast in the lake of fire. We spend eternity separated from God. That's the wages of sin. That's what we deserve, every one of us. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But we must believe. We must exercise faith. That's saving faith. Receive Christ, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become sons or children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And if we believe, the Bible says we are new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, it's not business as usual for the Christian who has truly been born into the family of God. Our lives change. Do we still sin? We sure do. It's a struggle, isn't it? Still have the old nature in there. There's a war going on, tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. But we know that the victory is ours in Christ. The victory is ours in Christ. It's important to walk by faith and not by sight, but we have to walk by the right faith, and that's faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. When we do that and we receive Christ, we have made peace with God. Paul wrote to the Colossians, we make peace with God through the blood of the cross. But then as we live our Christian lives, that position never changes. We are in Christ, that never changes. But our walk, if we're walking by sight and not by faith, what happens? Well, the joy goes and the peace. We lose purpose. We lose focus. We lose even the feeling of being necessary. Do you ever ask yourself, what difference would it make to the kingdom of God on this earth if I was taken out? What hole would be left behind? Now, I know none of us are none of us are irreplaceable. Okay? Sometimes we think we are. No. None of us are irreplaceable. But if we were gone tomorrow, what difference would it make spiritually? So our faith must be in Christ, not in our dreams, not in our thoughts, not in our ambitions, not in our next planned adventure. Sometimes we can have assurance based on wrong things and still say all is well with my soul when indeed it's not. Our own works ultimately will be destroyed, right? Our works will be burned. Only those things we did for Christ will last. All the rest is wood, hay, and stubble. It's gone. It's gone. Our faith must be based upon Christ and his word. So what do, Pastor? Saturate yourself with the word of God. Seek the face of God. Seek his will. And you know what will happen? God will reignite that fire in your soul. Remember when you couldn't wait for the next church service? Remember that? Huh? Remember when it was something you really looked forward to. God will give us that back. He'll give us that back if we seek him first. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. If you're here this morning, you haven't trusted Christ, be a perfect time for you to come during the invitation. Be glad to have someone take the word of God and show you how you can be saved and know it before you leave here this morning. Our Father, thank you for your word. God, please increase our faith as the apostles ask you, Lord, increase my faith. Help thou mine unbelief. And Lord, may we look within ourselves, examine ourselves. Number one, whether we're in the faith, as Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 13. But then as we acknowledge, yea, Lord, I am in the faith. I do believe in you. I have been born again. Lord, may we walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, as you reveal to us our true spiritual condition, may we be courageous enough to admit it and face it. Confess sin, Lord, you said, for the child of God, as we sometimes are stained by sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin as we confess it. And you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, bless this invitation. May your will be done. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.